Hallelujah. If you're a child of God, say amen tonight. Amen. If you've been set free, say amen. Amen. We are free tonight. Amen. Amen. Free from fear, free from doubt. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We're even free from death. Amen. Death is only temporary for a Christian. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for God's freedom tonight. Amen. Amen. He has set us free from the bondage that was sin and death. Amen. We don't have the spirit of fear. We don't have the spirit of bondage. We have the spirit of a free child of God tonight. Amen. Amen. Born free. Amen. Amen. When you become a free-born citizen of a kingdom, amen, that's special. Amen. That's your pedigree tonight. Amen. That's where you belong. You were made for the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? Amen. Let's just have a word of prayer. Father, just in these moments, Lord, when we think about your goodness, Lord. Lord, as the song says, Lord, you are for me, not against me. Lord, if you bring correction, Lord, it's for our good, Lord. Lord, if you allow trials to come, Lord, you're for us, not against us. Lord, anything that we're going through, Lord, we know that you're on our side. Lord, that Papa's watching out for us. Oh God, what confidence it gives us tonight, Lord, to know that we're your children. To know that there's no demon in hell that can win the victory, Lord, over a child of God. Because you've already won the victory. And Lord, tonight we're just here to receive it, Lord. We're here to receive everything that Calvary has purchased for us. Lord, we're here to make good on the claims, Lord. We're here to claim every promise in the book, Lord. Because we need it, Lord. And you provided it for us. Father, I pray you bless your word tonight. Lord, bless your people, Lord. Lord, as we said, we're your children, Lord. And we've come with a childlike faith tonight. We've not come, Lord, bringing in our hands any offering of our goodness, Lord, or of our accomplishments, Father, but we've come, Lord, under the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, and that's where our confidence is tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd bless each one, Lord. Provide just what each one needs, Lord. Lord, when we eat a meal, our body may need different vitamins and different minerals at different times, Lord. No doubt every member of the body here tonight needs a little something different from you. But Lord, you can provide what we have need of. So we look to you, Lord. Again, Lord, Jehovah Jireh, to provide all of our needs tonight. We thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Lord, please, Lord, receive our thanksgiving tonight, our praise, Lord, our adoration, Lord. You've been so good to us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for the times we failed to praise you enough, Lord. You're so worthy, and we love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, musicians. Amen. Just invite you to turn in the scripture tonight while you're standing to Isaiah chapter 57. Or you can just look at the screen. I said that by faith, and it was there. Amen. Do you love the Lord tonight? Amen. God is so good. Amen. Tonight, I want to just speak to you. Maybe just short little message tonight on personal revival. Isaiah chapter 57, Verse 15 says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one." My, what a title. Amen. "The high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." Oh my, we could just stop there and think about, meditate on that for an eternity. Amen. "The high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." Amen. "And he knows my name." Amen. He knows your name tonight. That high and lofty one is not so high and lofty that he couldn't condescend to right where you are, that he can't come by your seat tonight. Amen. And speak directly to your heart. Amen. He's not so high and lofty that he can't come right into your life. Amen. And meet your need tonight. Amen. He said, it said, "Whose name is holy, and I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit." Hallelujah. And here's what he does: to revive the spirit of the humble. Hallelujah. And to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalm 85, 6. "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" And a little statement here from the Message: "How can I overcome?" Which is a good question. Amen. It's what we need in this hour. He says, now let's turn to Revelation 3rd chapter at the church ages, a repeating a church age. "But now I could take this one text with the Holy Spirit and preach it 100 years and never get what's in it out. Because in this one text, like all other texts in the Bible, it's all tied together. And I want to take my subject this morning on how can I overcome. Now I chose this because that I think it's a day that we should never let the spirit of revival die. We got to keep in revival. Constantly revive every day. Paul said he had to die daily that Christ could live. And we must never let that revival die within us." Amen. You can have your seats tonight. Amen. May the Lord bless us as we read His Word. Amen. So we want to speak about the spirit of revival tonight. Amen. Is it too high or too low? Is it all right? Okay. He says, I don't know. Amen. We want to speak about the spirit of revival tonight. You know, what is it? Right? What is promised to us? What can we go to God tonight and claim for our own? What has He said about it? What is it supposed to do? Right? What should we be expecting? Because there's many out in the land that are expecting one thing. The church over here is expecting one thing. A church over here might be expecting another. Muslims are expecting one thing. Catholics are expecting another. But what should we be expecting? What should we be in expectation for in this hour? We've got to be in expectation with what the Word promises. And then when the two are lined up, then we can receive. Amen. Then we can manifest what the Word has declared. So Brother Branham referred us to the scripture where Paul declares, "I die daily." Amen. Now we don't need to go read that. You can read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But it tells us a few things. One, that we must die to ourselves. Amen. This is what our pastor's been preaching about. That we have to die to our own flesh. And that's not that, you know, we're out there committing suicide, right? We know what we're talking about when we say that. We're saying that the old flesh man is put under subjection. Right? That he no longer has the authority and the leadership in our lives. But that our old flesh man is... He's put it under bondage to the Word of God. Amen. That the Holy Spirit and working in our soul has put that flesh man. He's given him bits in his mouth. He's reined him in. He's tied him up. He's holding him down, and he's put him into subjection. Right? That's what we mean by dying daily, right? Dying out. So we know that we must do it, and we also know from that scripture that it's a daily struggle. Right? This is not something that you just do one time and then That's it. But he says that we must die daily. The third thing is that this is something that somebody is going to do. And that is for the believer. Amen. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in the scripture. He wouldn't be admonishing us to do it if it wasn't ours to do. Amen. That's one thing that I love about God. He doesn't put something before you and say, this is, I want you to live up to this standard and not give you a way to do it, make it impossible. He's putting it out there because he's already seen it. He's already seen you do it. He's already seen his children living in revival. Amen. He's already seen his children dying daily to themselves. Amen. So Jesus said it like this. We'll read this in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. He said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Right? That's what we're talking about. Denying himself. Right? Denying the flesh. The flesh says, I want to do this. And you say, well, you want to do this, and the word says this, I deny you. Right? Let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. There it is again. This is a daily process. And follow me, he says, for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. In other words, hold so tightly to your fleshly desires. Amen. Hold so tightly to your natural life that you will lose out in the end. But whosoever will lose his life, amen, pour out his natural life, amen, crucify it, deny it, die daily to it, the same shall save it. As we've been hearing preached, the way that you're going to save the flesh is to have it changed. And the only way it's going to get changed is if you put it into subjection. Amen? So you've got to take your flesh, you've got to tie it up. Amen? And put it into subjection to save it. Amen? It's kind of like, you know, an image just came to my mind where we used to work with cattle. You know, and if an animal was sick, it needed vaccination or something, you'd have to get the thing down and tie it up, you know, and it was uncomfortable. It didn't like it. You'd have to put it in a chute or something, and you'd have to get, you know, it would squall and bawl and fight you every step of the way, but it was for its own good. You were trying to save its life. You were trying to give it the medicine that would save it. Amen? Well, your flesh isn't going to go quietly into the night, as they say. Right? It's going to go squalling and bawling the whole way. But you've got to put your foot on its neck and tell it who's boss. So Jesus said that we would be those that deny ourselves. His followers would be deniers of self. Amen? How unlike the current age this is. Where it's all about self-actualization, right? And fulfilling yourself. But he said, no, you would deny yourself. Amen? And take up your cross daily. The cross in this instance is a symbol. Now, Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet, right? And as the people he was saying it to, he was just prophesying that he was going to go up and die and everything. So we're looking back at it saying, you know, it's a finished work at the cross and we're associating that. But to them, this is new, right? And the cross was a symbol to them of a violent death, right? Of a struggle, of a forceful death. It wasn't just something that happened by accident, but it was something forceful and it took violence. Amen? And that's the way it is to crucify your flesh. Amen? It's a struggle. It's a daily, it takes consecration and it takes discipline. And it's hard. Amen? I mean, I'm not here to sugarcoat it for you. This is not easy. But He laid down his life willingly that new life might spring forth. And brother and sister, when we do that, when we lay our life down willingly, new life can spring forth. Amen? New victories can be won. When we take up our cross, then, brother, sister, we are in line for revival. Amen. Because with the death of the old comes birth of the new. Amen. Now, revive, you know, revival, when we use that word revive or revival, it means to return to life. To return to life. Or consciousness, right? To return to consciousness. Or to become active or flourishing again. So if you're, the re part of revive is a returning of. Amen? It's coming back to a previous state. So when we talk about revival, we're talking about something that is for a Christian. Right? If you're not a Christian, you've got to be made alive the first time, right? But revival comes for us. Amen? It's there as a renewing, and it's a returning back. It's a resetting. Amen? It's renewing our strength. When we receive the Holy Ghost, we had everything that we had need of in the Holy Spirit. Amen? It gives you everything that you have need of. But what happens is the old man raises up and you have to renew that life. You have to revive that life. Amen? So we need a renewing and a reviving every day. Hallelujah. The new birth happens once, but a revival happens over and over. It should happen daily. If we die daily, we should be revived daily. Is that right? Renewing over and over and over and over. Constantly reviving every day back to the freshness and newness that we had when we were first born again. Amen. That's why, you know, the prophet would say, if you're, you know, you're backslidden, if you can, you know, if you're not going forward, if you're not being renewed every day, what are you going? You're going backward, right? So the example that he gave us and in the scripture is of an eagle renewing himself. So Psalms 103:5 says, speaking of the Lord, who satisfieth my mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And there's many scriptures that refer to the renewing like an eagle. Amen? And then, so he says this in the message, the eagle stirs her nest. He says, now the next thing he likened the eagle, he says, oh, I got so many things, but we haven't got time to get them all. He says, but the next thing is the eagle restores his youth. You know, Psalms said that, Proverbs said it, an eagle restores his youth, renews his youth. Renews his youth. An old eagle, every once in a while, all them feathers drops out, and he renews his youth again. He says, well, that's likened to his church. And then down in paragraph 55, he says, as an eagle renews his youth, yes, sir, the revival takes and shakes all the old funny feelings away from you. Fly out into an atmosphere yonder, likened his heritage to an eagle, because the eagle renews his youth. Now, makes him shout. You watch the church, it'll be sitting all dry. First thing you know, the Holy Spirit strikes. Why, the old people is just up on their feet, jumping and shouting and praising God. Renews their youth again. That's right. Do anything a young person can do. Just jump and holler and scream and shout. He renews his youth. That's right. I believe in that, don't you? And then also, in letting off the pressure, he said a certain kind of eagle, when he begins to get old, he gets weary. Like a lot of us old people, gets a crust over his head and he gets so weary he don't know what to do. Now the Bible said the eagle renews his youth. So I studied about this fellow. When he gets old and weary and that crust over his head, he flies just as high as he can go till he finds a great high rock. And he sits down by the side of the rock and he sits there and beats his head on a rock. What is he trying to do? Beat off the crust, all the crust, and the blood will fly out of his head, and he goes through kind of torture. But as long as he can feel some crust on him, he's got to get that off. So he beats it on the rock and just keeps beating it till the crust is off his head. And as soon as all the crust is off his head, though he's bleeding, wounded, he just screams at the top of his voice. He lets off the pressure. Why? Because as soon as that crust is all off, then he renews his youth. It's sure to come. So just as soon as the crust is gone, he can start screaming because he knows he got rid of the crust. So his youth is sure to be renewed, so he can just let off the pressure and start screaming because he's going back to a young eagle again. That's wonderful. I'm glad for the eagle. I'm glad for that bird. But you know, I know of a rock where we can go and beat in prayer till all the crust of the world is beat away from us. Till all the unbelief in God's word is beat away. Till we enter into a place where all things are possible. And as soon as we got all that world and unbelief in God's word beat off of us, then we can scream and shout because eternal life is sure. Just as certain as anything. Certainly because of all the world is beat off. If you keep the world on you, keep loving the world and the things of the world, you're sure to die. But if you can get away from all of that, then your youth will be restored. You'll have eternal life. Amen. So he's speaking about a reviving, right? Where we come, and he says there's a rock where we come and we beat. The word of God beats the world off of us, right? It's a process that takes pressure, and it takes effort, and it's hard. Amen. But the result is life. Amen. It's worth it. Amen. So, but he's speaking about this sort of one-time thing that happens with an eagle. But you know what is amazing about an eagle is that its feathers are actually replaced all through its lifetime. So even though you may have a one-time event, amen, where you come to God and you are born again by the Spirit of God, yet that eagle still has to renew his feathers. Every day he'll shake out a little of the old feathers and new ones will come in. He does that because he lives so long. He lives, you know, up to 30 years or something like that, right? And so his feathers have to be renewed so that he can fly, so that he can keep his vision, right? Otherwise, he becomes an earthbound creature. Amen? Otherwise, he begins to focus on the things of earth and he doesn't have that heavenly perspective. But those feathers have to be renewed constantly. Amen? It's not enough just one time. Amen. Sacrifice and suffering precede renewing and birth and refreshing and revival. Amen. It's hard, but it's worth it. Amen. Having that old world drop off of us, it's not going to go without a fight. Amen. Those demons that you accumulate as you walk through this world, they're not going without a fight. You've got to fight them every inch of the way. Revival takes surrender. Amen. It takes sacrifice. To keep the spirit of revival in your life takes discipline. It takes self-brokenness. Amen. Sometimes If you break a bone and that bone isn't healing just right, sometimes they have to go in and re-break that bone. Amen. For it to heal up right. Sometimes things have to be broken before they can be fully restored. Amen. Sometimes God has to take his children and he has to allow them to be broken so that he can build them back up in newness of life. A wound may have to be opened up. Amen. A wound in your life may have to be reopened and the infection cut out and, you know, some of that old stinging stuff poured in there. Man, I hated that stuff when I was a kid. I think they called it Bactine, right? Man, I would scrape up my knees and they'd just pour that stuff. Oh, man. But it was to keep the infection out. But sometimes he has to open those wounds before they can properly heal, because there's something in there that's keeping it from healing, right? So for new life to come forth, sometimes we have to be broken. Amen. First. Amen. How many want revival in their life? Amen. You want revival every day in your life? Amen. Well, dying to self is the requirement. Now, brother, sister, we're talking about personal revival tonight. Amen. And I know many times, if you'll read in the message and you know, even just talking to people, many times when Brother Branham's referring to revival, he's referring to the big, like, you know, corporate revival, right? Churches or holding revival meetings. He'll call that revival, right? And so you have to understand what's being referred to. And we know that in this time, there will be no more worldwide revival. The big revivals are done, right? But we are promised personal revival. Let me read you a couple of statements here out of trying to do God a service without it being his will. He says, nor does revival or does these things happen at a time when we think they ought to happen. We think it's this time right now, glory to God. I notice in our chapters and so forth of the businessmen, he's talking about rubbing shoulders with organizational men and preachers and so forth. He says, I notice in our chapters and so forth in the businessmen, quote, there's coming right away, hallelujah, a great revival, right? That's what they were expecting. They were looking for more of Azusa Street. They were looking for that Pentecostal revival to either repeat or continue. Amen? He said, there's coming right away a great revival. He said, don't be deceived. He has already come. And they did to him what it was list. He's quoting that scripture, right? Where John the Baptist had come and they did to him whatsoever they listed. And he's bringing that up into our day. And he said, look, he's already, this is 1960, this is November of 1965, right? And he's saying, look, it's already come and you missed it. See, but they think there's a revival. Is it happening? No, it's done, dead, it's over. Right, and he's speaking about the revivals of the organizations, the big churches, these big corporate revivals. But look at what he says. He says, notice, this is lamp trimming time. Amen? Lamp trimming time. Coming out and going in. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. A time of checking up. Trimming your lamps, renewing your strength, and going into the presence of God. Amen. That's what we're talking about when we speak about a personal revival. It's not the big, you know, the huge big meetings and the big prayer lines and the big campaigns. Amen. It's the individuals that God has gotten a hold of. Amen. Trimming their lamps. Lining up with the word, amen, but renewing their strength like an eagle, amen, living in his presence day by day, amen, and then going in up to be with the Lord, amen. Also in the same message, further down, paragraph 112, he says, there won't be any denomination, just remember. Brother Jack, here's a historian, and many of you here, there's never been a revival, but about 3 years after the revival, they started a denomination on it. Is that right? And this last great miracle move of God in these last days, it's went 20 years. And it's a million miles from a denomination, going further all the time. The shuck is pulling away. No cooperation, no nothing with it, right? He's talking about there's a seed in the wheat plant, and then there's a shuck around it. But as time goes on and that seed matures, that shuck pulls away from that seed, right? He says that shuck's pulling away. There's no cooperation, nothing with it. See, always it pulls away from it. There can't be no more. It's a wheat now. He says, but we're plenty green. That's right. Have to lay in the presence of the sun to be mellowed up. That's all of it. Plenty green. We haven't got the sincerity, the sacredness, the thing that we ought to have in our midst.
to know that the Spirit of the living God, moving in His Word and showing us the things yet. Excuse me. Amen. Now, I've had people sit and quote this to me to excuse and explain their lukewarm, cold, dead condition. They say, oh, this is just a time of laying in the sun and there's nothing happening, and so we can be cold and formal and lukewarm and starchy, stiff neck, right? And they use that to explain away their condition. But that's not what he said. He just said it's not this big worldwide thing. There is still a group that's laying in the presence of Almighty God. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a revival to me. Being in the presence of the Son, amen? Hallelujah. He talks about sincerity and sacredness. Amen? The Spirit of the living God moving in His Word and showing us the things. Amen? That sounds like revival to me. Amen? It's just personal revival. Amen. So revival, it means a return to life. Amen? To come back to life. We live in I'll call it a shadow world. Amen? This world that we live in, we're born into a life of death. And it seems like it's real and we're alive, but we know that there is a more real and more alive world. Amen? Amen? But it's so real and so present and so in our face, and it's in our senses, that we have to be renewed daily to that eternal life. Amen? We have to be returned to life. We have to be revived to eternal life. Not that we lose our eternal life, right? But we're being reawakened to it, if I could put it that way. We're coming awake. We have to be reminded, and our vision has to be restored, because we walk in this world and we see the natural things and we think about natural things and we do natural things, and we have to be revived to the spiritual. Amen? Who you really are. Not but what your body and the world testifies that you are. Amen? It's like coming out of a dream. Amen? Where you've had a dream and it's so real. And then you wake up and you're coming out of it, and then you realize that's a dream. This is reality. Amen? When you're awakened to the spiritual world and you realize that you have a soul, and that there are spirit, there's a spirit dimension all around us, and we are spiritual beings and we're fighting a spiritual warfare, we have to be reawakened to that. Amen? We have to be revived to that. And this is a day-by-day reawakening. Is that right? We have to be revived to the truth of God's Word, because the enemy will preach. He'll preach false doctrine to you all day long. And then you've got to be revived to God's Word. Amen. To the spiritual battle that's all around you. Amen. Satan would like nothing more than to obscure the spiritual battle, right? He wants to make it all about flesh and blood. Revival, the reviving brings the battle into focus for us. Amen? It clarifies it. It makes shadowy things black and white again. Amen? Where we once were fighting, maybe through the day, we were fighting flesh and blood battles. We were fighting on natural terms, right? You're making decisions. You're doing things based on your own strength, and you're using natural weapons and human devices. You're natural thinking. You're making decisions. You're solving problems. You're trying to work relationships, all based on natural things. Amen? But the daily reviving brings you into the spiritual realm. Amen. It brings the spiritual element back in focus. Amen. And then you realize there's a spirit behind that friction that you have with, you know, a coworker or someone in your family. You realize there's a spiritual component to it. Amen. Then it's focused and plain. And then you realize that the weapons of your warfare are not carnal. Amen. You're not fighting flesh and blood battles. But our weapons are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. But unless you've been renewed and revived, you can't see those things plainly. Amen. It gets fuzzy. It gets blurry. Now we battle against demons instead of people. Amen. But when you haven't been renewed, when you haven't been refreshed and revived, when you're not living in revival, you butt heads with people. You fight against people. You fight flesh and blood battles. If you got people problems, you just need revival. Amen. And I won't say that the problems will go away, but you'll realize they're not people problems. You'll realize they're spirit problems. Amen. Let me read to you a statement from the presence of God unrecognized. He says, we just want to add more to the church and give you more faith in the God that you serve in your church. See? Amen. That's what we want to do. He says, we don't want the doors of the church closed, by no means. We want you to stay there, but we're just trying to help you and to encourage you. A revival don't even mean to add more to the church. A revival means to revive that what you've already got. That's right, a revival. He says, I watched one time at the seashore where the wind was blowing, and it was just shaking it, and it wasn't the seashore. It was up at Lake Michigan, and I was standing out there watching the waves as they come in. Amen? We've all heard the story. And all the sea was jumping, or the water was jumping, and the boats was a-rocking, and I thought, what is going on? I thought, why? The lake's having a revival. That's it. It's jumping and shaking. Why, there's a rushing mighty wind coming down on it. I thought, well, you know what? There isn't one more drop of water in it right now than what it was perfectly still. Amen? No more water in it. It's just all stirred up. I thought, what's it stirred up about? You know what a stirring up of the water does? It washes all the trash out of it. Up on the bank. And that's what we need. A washing of unbelief. Out on the bank. Let the word of God have preeminence. That's what we need. A revival. Wash out the unbelief out. All the bugs and superstitions and things. Come out. And see that God is still God. That's what we have revivals for. And brother, sister, when he says that's what we have revivals for, he's speaking about, you know, big revivals, right? But I'll bring it down to this day. That's what we need our daily reviving for. Amen. We must live in his presence every day. Amen. We come to church on Wednesday nights and we have a reviving. Amen. We're getting a reviving here tonight. We come Sunday, we're getting a reviving. Sunday night, a reviving. But brother, sister, there's 5 other days of the week. Amen. And we've got to have a reviving on those other days. Amen. Let me read you another statement here. This is calling Jesus on the scene. It says, I remember one night in Vandalia, Illinois, walked into the meeting. No more had been sitting in the meeting over 5 minutes, and there wasn't a feeble person around the place anywhere. How about that? Wheelchairs pushed out, piled up, blind with seeing, deaf and dumb speaking. Just simply the Spirit of the Lord was present. And he just healed the whole group of them. He says, now that's when you can do something. When revival is going on. But let that revival fire die down. He says, then you can hardly. The people are still Christians, but they're not revived into that spirit, that great atmosphere that does something. It's just like a forge in a blacksmith shop. You've got to get the iron hot before you go to pounding it on the anvil. If you don't, you'll never straighten it out. That's what it takes to have a revival? Is everybody under the heat of the Holy Spirit that's brought down the powers of God in a revival moving? Then there's prayer meetings going day and night, every minute, everywhere. Why? The people wouldn't even leave the grounds. Your daily revival should not depend on other people. But these large moves of revivals are started by individuals in revival. Right? He talks about how that's how it starts. It takes everybody under the heat of, he says, and people that's brought down the powers of God in a revival. So people in personal revival coming together form a big bonfire of revival. Amen? Then other people that come, they may not be in personal revival, but they can come in and get warmed by the fire. They can come in and get healed. They can come in and get blessed. They can come in and come into an atmosphere where the Holy Ghost can move on them and move them into revival. Or can save them, can deliver them, can heal them, can do miracles, whatever is needed, right? But it takes individuals by themselves, you know, on their own, coming into revival, then coming together. Amen. Otherwise, you can come and the people will come to church and people will be in personal revival. And you can come cold, formal, whatever. You can come and you can get lifted up. You can leave feeling good. You can leave feeling just cleaned up and didn't the Lord move and I just feel so much better and, you've been lifted up into heavenly places and you're seeing, things clearly again and you're just doing great when you walk out the doors and then you cool off again. You get cold. Why? Because you're not daily walking in personal revival. And we see it happen over and over when, we'll have youth meetings, we'll have big meetings or whatever, and Brother Branham talks about it, people that are living from revival to revival, right? From campaign to campaign, right? Why? It's because they don't have personal revival in their lives. We, brother, sister, are supposed to be living in the holiest of holies. That's our position. That's our place. Amen? Amen. There's nothing wrong, brother, sister, with coming and being in the atmosphere and being pulled along into revival. There's nothing wrong with that. If that's all you can do, do that. Right? That's why we say, come to church. Right? I don't care how you feel or what you've been through, whatever. Drag your carcass into church. Right? Don't stay away because you don't feel spiritual enough or I'm not, That's not what we're saying. Amen? But what we are saying is if everybody did that, right? It would be hard. It would take effort. Now, if everybody did that and everybody had an attitude, I don't care what's going to happen. I'm going to crucify my flesh tonight. And I'm going to get in revival right now. Then God would move on the scene. Amen. But you don't have to wait for church to do that. You can do that on your own before you come to church. You can do that on days when we don't have church. Amen. But brother, sister, if you do it when we're in church at least. Amen. Amen. Because it takes effort. Amen. This doesn't happen on its own. I would say this. Salvation is a gift, right? We know that. It's the grace of God. The Bible says, lest any man should boast. Our salvation is not based on works. Our relationship to God, Father, is not based on works. It's the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But if you want to be in revival, it takes effort. Amen. It takes effort to crucify the flesh. So we are to be living in the holiest of holies with Him. We're not supposed to be living in the outer court. Right now, if you find yourself in the outer court, fine, you know, move on. We're not even supposed to be living in that inner court. We're supposed to be in His presence. Amen. Let me read you just a couple more statements here. A hidden life in Christ. He says, I think that's what's the matter with the church today is we got too many of those layovers. He's talking about leftovers, layover food. That's right. Some people just eat enough manna to make them right good and hungry for some more. Before one revival to another one, you have to go out and get renewed again. Amen. You can't just go to a revival meeting and have enough food to last you the entire year. He says, oh, brother, why don't you stop that nonsense and come into the holiest of holies by the blood of the Lord Jesus? Every bit of manna outside here just lets you last for tonight or tomorrow. Next week it won't. He's speaking about the manna that's in the holy place, right? Not in the holiest of holies. Next week it won't work. It dries up overnight. But if you'll ever consecrate yourself, now that sounds like it takes effort. Yeah. Right? That sounds like it's something that's, well, first of all, it sounds hard. Right? And it is hard for you on your flesh, but it's not hard on your soul. Amen. And it's what a child of God is made to do. When I say hard, I mean that it's, you know, it doesn't come without a price. That's what I'm saying. Amen. Not hard in that it's unattainable. Not hard in that you got to go on a mountain in the Himalayas somewhere, Mount Everest or whatever, right? And climb up there with a Sherpa and, you know, do a monk thing. Right? It's that it's going to cost you. That it comes with a price. He says, if you'll ever consecrate yourself to come into where the manna stays fresh. See, otherwise you're just living from church service to church service. Right? Or you're living from special meeting to special meeting. Because that manna only lasts so long. But if you're living in the spirit of revival, he says that manna stays fresh. Day in, day out. Year in, year out, in the holiest of holies. He says, you can meet a man that's ever walked in there. I don't care if he hasn't been in revival for 6 months. Now, he's talking about in a meeting revival, right? I don't care if he hasn't been to special meetings, in other words, for 6 months. He's just as sweet as he was the day he was in that revival meeting, right? That's right. You can meet him on a shouty day. Or a cloudy day. I never had a shouty day. I never heard of that until Brother Branham showed me that word. A shouty day, that's a day where you just want to shout. Or a cloudy day. Or whatever you want to, it's just the same. Right? Because in that place, it's just God. Amen? You're not worried about the weather. You're shut in with Him. Right? The weather being a type of circumstances of life. You've got food in there. You've got light. Amen? The Shekinah glory. He says you can meet Him on a shouty day or a cloudy day. Whatever you want to. He's just the same because He's living in the glory of God. He's living where the manna is fresh all the time. How many want to live in the glory of God? You want to live where the manna is fresh all the time. He says, where it isn't a burden to get out and pray through today. Why? Because it's life to you. Amen? And pray through tomorrow. Brother, stay with Him all the time in the holiest of holies. Now you say, that's too hard, man. You just said, Brother Andy, it's hard. Right? I don't think I can do that. I don't even think that's for me. Well, he says, can a person live that way? Absolutely. That's what Jesus died for. Man, I thought he died just to save my soul so that, you know, I can just barely by the skin of my teeth squeak out of this place and be saved. Just barely. No. He died that I can live in the living in the glory of God. Living where the manna is fresh all the time. That's what he died for. He died to reconcile God and man. He died to take that chasm of sin away. That separating barrier, so that we can dwell in the presence of God. He enabled and made a way for us to live in the glory of God, to live in personal revival, being revived and alive. My. From the message, Broken Cisterns, he says, that's the way it is with a born-again experience. It's a well of water within you bubbling up into everlasting life. See, there's something about it that you have nothing to do with it. The man-made tanks may freeze and them begging for revival and everything, but a man that's under that fountain, living in that fountain, it's day and night. Amen. You're not relying on the church to pump you up. You're not relying on the song leader to pump you up when you get to church. Amen. There's a living, bubbling water, a flowing fountain in your life. Hallelujah. It's day and night. He says you don't have to wait for local rains and local revivals. You're full of it. Amen. That's a type of waiting for someone else to create an atmosphere for you. Right? You don't have to wait for somebody else to bring the rain. Amen? Because you've got the living water dwelling in you. Hallelujah. You don't have to wait on local rains, local revivals. You're full of it. I'll give unto him a fountain of life. In him, bubbling up. Something in him that's fresh every day. Amen. Every day. Maybe I should have titled this Daily Revival. Amen. Pure and clean. It's unadulterated word of God in your heart and mouth, vindicating itself, speaking for itself. I don't care whether it's raining, whether it's snowing, what kind of weather it is. In other words, circumstances of life. I don't care if you're going through this, going through that. Amen. Going through financial trouble, marriage trouble, health trouble, whatever kind of trouble. Whatever the weather is. Amen. I don't care whether it's raining or snowing. You're still happy because the Holy Spirit is in there bubbling up. It's a hidden power. Amen. For its secrets within it. Amen. A hidden power. A daily reviving. Fresh water from an artesian well. Amen. But it only comes, brother, sister, from taking up your cross daily and dying out. I'd say it's worth it, wouldn't you? Amen. I'd say that's a good deal. Amen. So revive means also to become active again. Right? Because if something is dead, you bury it. It's not doing anything, right? But if it's revived, then if something's alive, it's not just sitting there, right? It's got activity to it. Someone who's alive is going to come in and express it. They're going to worship God. And then they're not going to just sit like a bump on a log in a service. Amen. They're going to worship. They're going to pray. They're going to be at their post of duty. They're going to be helping. They're going to be sacrificing. They're going to be giving. They're going to be doing whatever they can to help the kingdom of God. Amen. They're not just floating down the river of life like a dead fish. Right? They're alive. They're moving. They're active. Amen. That's how we know we're in a spirit of revival. Now, you can be active and, you know, be just doing dead works. But if you are in revival, you will be active.
Amen.
Amen. Doing all we can to be an example for others. Amen. Part of being in revival is, hey, buddy, come along. The water's good. Jump on in. Amen. We want to encourage others around us. We want to be an example for others. I want people to look at my life and go, I want to be a Christian like that. I want to live like that. I want to live in the Spirit of God. I want to live in the glory of God like that brother, like that sister. Amen. Active and flourishing. That was the Webster's Dictionary. Revive is to be renewed, to be revived for action, and to be flourishing again, it said. So you were flourishing once, now you're flourishing again. God made us to prosper spiritually. He said, I would that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers, right? We've quoted that many times. Bringing forth much fruit. Not just little bitty spindly fruit. Much fruit. Amen? Of all people, the bride of Christ should be bringing forth fruit. And a special fruit. Amen? If you're a man and you're married, there's one woman that you want to hear praises from. Above all others. Amen? You want to hear your darling say something nice about you. You know, the lady at the office, well, if she says something nice, that's fine. But it doesn't have the same meaning as your sweetheart. Amen? When she says something nice, the bride is supposed to be producing the choice fruit. Amen. Sweeter than the rest. The fruit that he wants to enjoy the most, to partake of. Amen. Let me just get you these last two quotes here. The invisible union of the bride of Christ, he says, now please let me say again to the local assembly, he says, don't feel bad now. I'm speaking out all across the country to what I think is the elect lady. So if there happens to be ministers in here that don't agree, well, you just hold your peace for a little while. Notice and just listen, he says, notice this character. When you see women just go on a rampage and just do anything they want, watch, the church is doing the same thing. Notice. But watch when the spiritual bride, when she begins to have a revival, when she begins to come back and line herself up with the Word of God. Watch then again, you see how that the scriptures at that time, there will be a message sweep out to catch that bride. To catch that woman elect. For as the world, Satan the deceiver, who deceived the first bride to sinning against God by misbelieving his word. So that word sweeps out when she begins to have a revival. It's the word, right? That message that sweeps out to catch that woman elect. And she begins to come back and line herself up with the word of God. Every revival must be based on the Word of God. It lines you up right with the Word. Amen? You can't say, I'm in revival, and it just be a bunch of emotional and shouting and not lining up with the Word. That's why coming and lining up with the Word is the prerequisite for revival. Checking up. Amen? And just one more quote here, and then we'll finish this up. Turn on the light, he says. So ought the church of Pentecost today ask, who is Jesus Christ? The same yesterday, today, and forever. His light of his gospel ought to be shining forth with the word of this age, revealing Jesus Christ to the nation just like it was then. He was so filled up with the Welsh revival till he was the Welsh revival. He's speaking about that cop, right? That policeman there. He says, we ought to be so filled with Christ till we reflect him in the power of his word that's allotted to us this day. He says, brethren, don't be stooped in the things of the world. Don't. These cares will take you away. Stay with the gospel. Watch every word. Don't go back to what some father said. Let's go right now what Jesus said was to take place in this day. Yes, sir. We are supposed to be the light of this age, manifesting the gospel. Luther was his light. Wesley was his light. Pentecost was his light. But we're farther up the road now. We're coming into the bride, called out the elected. And remember, if you are, you're just like that officer. He had it in him. So if you're part of that elect group, the coming into the bride, he says, you're like that officer. Where you could say, where is the bride's revival? That's where it's taking place. Amen. He had it in him. It was a personal revival. He didn't point out to some big, you know, oh, it's this big tent over here and over that. He said, no, this is revival's happening right here. You're looking for it, you found it. Amen. This is where it's happening. Brother, sister, that's what the bride's revival is. Amen. It's the bride in a personal revival. Amen. We've been elected. We've been predestinated to bring forth a manifested bride age fruit in this hour. The whole word, all the word that's been heaped back up and been restored in this age. Amen. The fruit that can come forth from that, but it needs to be watered by the waters of revival. Amen. You know, a tree, if you, and man, I didn't really even understand this until I moved to the desert. You know, you go up to Sabino Canyon and some of these places, and there's giant trees, right? And there's no water anywhere, but there is water underground. Amen. And these giant trees, and they're talking about how they're drinking, you know, how many thousands of gallons of water every day for this tree, and it's huge, right? Well, the reason that that tree is there, that tree is the evidence of the water that you can't see. I could be walking along and just, to me, it's just sand. Right? I don't know. But when I look at the tree, I go, huh, there must be something underneath. There's more to this than what I can see. Amen. There's some power here. There's something here that's lying beneath that this tree is tapping into. Amen. And because it's connected into that source, oh, hallelujah. Amen. Because of the water that it's tapped into, it's not using its own strength. Amen. If it had to rely on the rains from heaven, it wouldn't make it. Right? But it's tapped into something. Oh, hallelujah. Because of that, that tree, it grows forth and man, it just dwarfs everything around it. And it produces fruit and the animals can eat and it provides shelter. And it brings life to the entire area because it has been tapped into revival. We must be tree planted by the living water of the living God. Amen. Amen. So that we can withstand drought. We can withstand storms. We can withstand anything that the enemy would throw at us. But if we are planted firmly and we are tapped into that living water, brother, sister, what can come against us? Amen. What can come against you? As I said before, it's good on Wednesday. It's good on Sunday. Amen. But you got to be tapped in. If that tree only chose to drink, you know, like once or twice a week, it would never grow. It would never be as healthy. It can never withstand disease like it can. But it has to be tapped in. Amen. Personal revival comes from personal surrender. But it's about thriving, not just surviving. It's about victory and overcoming. It's about dying to flesh so that you can live in the Spirit. It's about controlling your flesh and getting it under control to the Word so the Word can have preeminence. I want the Word to have preeminence in my life. Amen? I want the blessings that the Word brings, not the death that flesh gives. Amen. You know, the Bible says that bodily exercise profiteth little, right? But spiritual exercise availeth much. Amen? And, you know, some of us use that as an excuse. Well, you know, it says bodily exercise. It doesn't profiteth very much, but it does a little bit, right? But the other part of that is spiritual exercise availeth much. Well, what's he talking about? He's not talking about pumping iron, right? Spiritual exercise, it's discipline. Right? It's taking your flesh, like Brother Baker preached on Sunday, and putting bits in its mouth, reining it in, and saying, you're under control by the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to let you get your way all the time. Maybe once in a while, you know, I can give you a little bit of rein, but then I'm going to pull you back in. Amen? Hallelujah. Dying to self. Amen. Like I said before, salvation is a gift. This is a victory. Amen. This takes work. This takes discipline. It takes effort staying in revival. The good thing, brother and sister, is Jesus said, if you hunger and thirst, you shall be filled. Amen. Stand with me tonight. It's a promise that we can receive tonight. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Oh, Father, how we love you, Lord. Lord, it's our desire, Lord, to live in a personal revival daily, Lord, with you. Father, tonight, as we've gathered here tonight, Lord, to come and have our spirits revived here tonight, Lord, to be refreshed, Lord, and renewed. And Lord, I pray that you would just touch our hearts, Lord, and just move on us, Father, and help us. Give us the power, the ability, the strength, Lord, to walk with you in a daily revival, Lord, to crucify the flesh, to take up our cross daily, Lord, as all those in obedience, Lord, as all those scriptures and all those things that you've said about us, Lord, may it be true in our lives, Father, I pray. Lord, that is our desire. That is our hunger tonight, Lord, is to manifest that, Lord. We get so in so much trouble, Lord, just because we fail to surrender. We fail to, Lord, just let you have your way, Lord. We allow the flesh to take over, and then we fight a flesh battle, and then it just spirals downhill from there. But Lord, if we could just take that flesh and just tell him, just sit down. Just push him aside. This is what the Word says. This is what God has said about it. This is the Word that I'm going to live by. Lord, we could have so much more revival in our lives. Lord, bless this Word tonight, I pray, Lord. And Lord, just the little time we have remaining, Lord, as we just worship you and just invite your presence, Lord. We desire, Lord, a drink, Lord, of that artesian well tonight. I pray that you would just revive my brothers and sisters, Lord. Just renew them like the eagle, Lord. Renew their feathers, O God, so that they can fly, Lord, high above all the circumstances of life. And we thank you, Lord, and we just honor you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. Amen.